am Sid Garza Hillman, and this is what I think.
Yesterday was a weird day a bit. I had a talk to give locally, which I don't do that often. I'm usually traveling around, hitting the different veg fests and the stuff that I do. I was asked to speak at this thing in town near me, anyway, called, ready, wait for it, the Harmonious on Purpose Festival. Now, I live in Hippie Town, USA, Mendocino County. I love living up here after 20 years in Los Angeles. You know, it was time for Lisa and me to get out of there with our daughter at the time. Now we have two more twins. It was time to get out of LA, and I love living up here. With that said, I don't work locally. I don't necessarily, let's just say, mesh with the kind of thing up here. I'm not a new agey kind. Look, I'm just not my bag. Okay. So Harmonious on Purpose, already just red flags abound. Red flags abound. Second year, I didn't speak at it last year. And so this year, they said, hey, can you do a talk? I said, yeah, sure. I'll do a talk. It's fine. It's down the street. I can handle it. It's on a Saturday. I'd rather not, you know, leave my family unless it's, you know, a really, really thing. And I agree to do it. In retrospect, I probably shouldn't have. In retrospect, actually, I definitely shouldn't have. That's for sure. So I showed up at this thing, and I've got notes. They don't have a projector, which is fine. So I just did notes on a piece of paper, which I usually don't do. So I had to kind of get. And I got there early, and I spent about an hour and a half working out the talk. Another half an hour as I was there going over the notes, making sure that it flowed well. I'm a professional. What can I say? I want it to be good. Okay. I take pride in my public speaking, and so I get to the room, and the person emceeing it announces me coming on soon, and she says, our next speaker is Sid Garza. And so I just said off to the side, I was like, yeah, it's Garza Hillman. She goes, oh, no, I'm sorry about that. Sid Garza Gilman is our next speaker. And none of this I'm kidding about, by the way. I just want to be clear about that. I'll josh now and then, but this is not that thing. Sid is the head chef at the Ravens restaurant, Stanford Inn. And in his talk, Approaching the Natural, he's going to talk about healthy greens, eating more greens and veggies, and how to cook them. And it's going to be great. There's only two problems with that whole intro. One is my name. I can get past that. Two is that my talk had almost zero to do with food and definitely nothing to do with particular foods like, oh, I don't know, greens. So that was the first of many red flags. That was the fifth of many red flags. So I got on stage and to four people in the crowd, four. And the silver lining was that one person who heard it stopped me afterwards and very lovely person and had really nice things to say. And she was affected by my talk in a positive way. It's very hard when... And I'm in this now, like with this podcast and with my vlog and everything. It's like, and I did a recent video on my vlog about that I'm discouraged. I feel discouraged by just, you know, after having put as much time as I've put in, I have a good group of people listening. I have a core group, but it's not the numbers that are enough to kick me sort of in the next level of like making a living at this, which would be nice to do. And I don't want to devalue that. I get emails from people all over the world, and I used to with Approaching the Natural. It's like, it's hard because I'm affecting people in a good way. They're hearing my message. It's changing people's lives. It's making them, helping them fix the things that they want to fix, and et cetera, et cetera. But it's kind of like, you know, and so I don't want to devalue that. It's one person. But at the same time, I have to sort of weigh that against, I took off time from my family during the day to work out the notes. I took off time from my family to get to the talk early, to sit there for 30 minutes going over my, I mean, you know, like all this stuff that goes into it. And I don't want to devalue this lovely, super nice, thoughtful person who had a really nice talk with after the talk. But it's, I don't want to say it's not enough. It's very, you guys understand what I'm saying, right? It's, of course, it's like, it's amazing. One person, it's great, but I can't, as a job, it's very hard for me to do the things that my job takes for that. And of course I wasn't getting paid either. So this is like donated time. And I sort of go like, if I'm going to donate time, at least know my freaking name and know what my freaking talk's about, because I already told them in writing what my talk was going to be about. So you think that they would have gotten that done. Am I taking the gloves off a little bit in this podcast? Yes, I'm taking the gloves off. I don't want to wear gloves. It's summertime. You guys doing okay? Remember in the old podcast, I said I wasn't going to reference it, but sometimes I will. It's just going to happen. I would have to do like redo my starts, because I would do a start and it wouldn't quite work out. And then I'd have to stop again and start over. And I'd do like five or six starts before I'd sort of roll. This podcast, that is rolling. Again, one of those things that it kind of was a little bit of an annoyance, removed it out of the picture. Now the microphone goes on, and I don't know what's going to happen. I do know that I'm going to take a sip of my scotch. This was the rum cask-filled scotch that I had last week that I'm hoping to keep for a very long time. The problem is it's more like a special scotch that I usually keep for years. I actually have a 34-year-old bottle of scotch that I got. It was sent to me in the first year of the other podcast, so like 5 years ago. I still have it. This should be that scotch. I just don't have any other scotch, and so this is my podcast scotch. This is the one that I have once a week for the podcast. Yes? Okay. Back to this deal. So I'm going to get right into the Depp effect. There's an article recently in Rolling Stone that I read, and I got a little lost in it. It's the minutiae of it. Frankly, I don't care about Johnny Depp's lawsuits about the millions and millions of dollars that either got lost or misplaced or stolen. I don't care. I just don't care. However, there's a few, just in general, some things I wanted to dive in on. I will say that the only reason I'm focusing on this particular articles, there's lots of articles of so-called artists and actors who are totally screwed up, because that's most of them. I don't know if that's true or not. It's anecdotal. There's no study on it. It's true. So I've always been a fan of Johnny Depp. Okay. I've always been a fan of Johnny Depp, not because he's super good looking. That's 74% of why. But other than that, he's a freaking great actor. Years ago, Lisa and I, my wife Lisa, for those of you who are just joining this podcast for the first time and have no idea what's going on here, I don't blame you, but Lisa and I used to have a daydream, more on daydreaming in a second, but we used to have a daydream where we would want a double date, go on a double date with Johnny Depp and Uma Thurman. They weren't dating at the time. We just wanted to go on a double date with Johnny Depp and Uma Thurman. Here was the hitch. The hitch was that we were worried if we went on a double date with Johnny Depp and Uma Thurman, that at the end of the night, Lisa would end up going home with Uma Thurman, and I would end up going home with Johnny Depp. And we had a marriage to preserve. This was not okay. I mean, at the time, we had a child. I'm not going to leave my child fatherless to run away with Johnny Depp. Do I regret that a little bit? I mean, a little bit, because the guy drinks some really nice red wine, and he's got a bunch of guitars. There's some fun about that picture. Again, I've got to weigh that against the life that I have now, which is pretty damn good. I don't have 200 guitars, but it's pretty good. So, you know, we kind of got to think through these things. This article is tragic. This article is tragic, assuming it's, you know, accurate, which I'm assuming it is. You know, he's sitting in a room. He's basically hanging out with people he pays. Look, I used to live in Los Angeles for 20 years. I was a full-time working actor. I wasn't famous. I was a day player, but I did have contact with some famous people and kind of would see, and it was always this kind of situation that made me feel a little squirrely, just this kind of like hangers on kind of people hanging around. And I always wonder, like, are they on staff? Like, are they on salary? Are they the whole thing's a little creepy, but when you look at the whole picture of Johnny Depp, at least as portrayed in this article, it's sad. You know, the guy's got 12, 14 freaking mansions and all this kind of stuff. Now, what you're hearing me say is, but he's got these things, so why would he be sad, you know? Side note, side story. And this is a parenting issue. So I've just, you guys can help me work this out. But I was going down, I surprised, you guys follow my vlog on YouTube, you'll know what happened here. But I surprised my daughter, one of the twins, with a concert down to hear this artist that my daughter and I both love. The other two kids, not so much, and that's their problem. Phoebe Bridgers, who I really love. She's a great songwriter. So my little 9-year-old Rena loves Phoebe Bridgers, and so I surprised her. Like, she thought she was going to sleep over at a friend's house, so she packed a bag, and we were getting ready to get in the car to drive her to her friend's, and I said, listen, you're not going to your friend's house. We're driving to friggin' San Francisco, and we're going to see a Phoebe Bridgers. And so that was really, really cool. But that's sort of a side note. But one time in the car, we were listening to Phoebe Bridgers, and Rena said that she had looked her up and saw what she looked like, and she's really beautiful. And she is. She's a beautiful one. And Ronan, my son, goes, if she's so pretty, why are her songs so sad? Now, it makes sense, right? Like, if somebody's attractive, how can they be sad? That doesn't make it. It's like crazy. Now, is that kind of bad parenting? A little bit. I corrected. I said, Ronan, those two things are mutually, I didn't say mutually exclusive, but I said the words that meant mutually exclusive. Those are separate things. Like, if somebody's really pretty, that means literally nothing in terms of how healthy and happy they can be. That's a separate thing. The reason why this article struck me is because it's the sadness of this guy, but again, like, I'm not invested in it, so it's fine. But in terms of my work to help people live happy and healthy lives, and in terms of my own life personally, this is not news, and this is not brain surgery, that we equate sort of material success with happiness. We time and time again see that that's not true. I liken it, because of the crazy filter that the nutty nut filter that I see the world through, I liken that to the health and happiness that we sort of equate material success with health and happiness the same way that we do with, like, weight loss. If I just can hit my good, healthy weight, I'll be happy. Again, it can happen. It's just not necessarily going to happen. And it's this, like, external thing that we live in so much, this external reality of how we look in a mirror. And we equate that with possible happiness, or both. I think they're both intertwined, if you're wondering. We obviously know that many, many wealthy people are not living great lives. We know that many famous actors and actresses are not living good lives, or at least not as they're portrayed. There's a lot of depression and just general unhappiness. It's like, does unchecked success... So, here's what I'm talking about. This podcast, as I talked about in the first episode last week, or whenever it was, because I don't care this time around. Am I right? Yes. Is really about character. I mean, what I'm talking about here is developing character. And so if the character is lacking, if a grounding is lacking, then all the external material success isn't going to fix that. In fact, it can sometimes perpetuate and amplify things like insecurity, things like not having a core defined value set. You know, the things that we know we principle. Like, if we're not principled and we're handed $3 million, it ain't going to build in principle. And sometimes it's the opposite. Then we sort of feel this crazy effect of, like, well, now I can do anything and treat people however I want because I have power. Power and strength, as I said last week, are very intricate, very nuanced states. They are not about telling somebody to do something and that person will do it because you have money. To me, it's an internal reality that we either are or are not and can develop to be sure, but we cannot fake that in terms of a way that we can fake it and people will be convinced, you know, that we're powerful. But to actually be powerful in terms of what we ourselves believe about ourselves, okay, different ballgame entirely. It's a character issue. It is always a character issue. So I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, on paper, how could you be unhappy? Well, because there's lacking stuff. And we as human beings, at least people that I know, but we might daydream. I daydream. Lisa and I talk about, like, God, what would we do if we just had, like, a decent amount of money? I don't even care. I'm just saying, like, a decent amount of money, right? And we have these ideas. The problem with that daydreaming thing and what I... on my notes that I'm looking at right now, it says daydream versus day think. We oftentimes will say, like, if I just had $1 million, I would, and or if I were Johnny Depp, Well, I'd be like, what the heck? Like, why would I be unhappy? That's insane. The problem is when you daydream about, let's say, getting a lot of money or daydream about owning a big house somewhere, it's usually a very partitioned, very narrow daydream. Our daydreams are not detailed. We don't take the time to go, well, if I, you know, worked for my ass off for 15 years like Johnny Depp and then got this money, I really would have to go through all the work that I've had to do. Had to go through it, like, and now I have to have managers and agents. I have to deal with all that. I've got family asking me for favors and for help, and I've got all these people kind of pulling at me. I've got people who are, you know, pretending to be my friend only because I have this kind of money and that can help them potentially with their career. There's a lot of crazy stuff. The alternative is somebody hands me this money and basically the same stuff happens. It's just that we didn't even have the work. We didn't even do the work to earn it. And so it doesn't, I'm not saying that people who are wealthy are all unhappy. Of course, there are people who are wealthy that are supremely happy. But the question is why? Because it's not because of their wealth. It's because of potentially the work that they have done to make sure they are staying grounded and keeping grounded almost in spite of that. And if they are wealthy and have that grounding, then that's phenomenal. They can do the things they want to do. Look, like the more money I have, the more work I do. I like that. I like being able to have the life that I have so I can do things like this podcast. I have a, you know, a laptop computer, the things that I can afford. I don't care about having new wheels on my car. That's not kind of where I'm at. I'd like to think, and again, I could be completely naive here, but I like to think that if given a good amount of money right now, I wouldn't go, well, now I'm never going to work again. Forget it. I don't get, you know, don't need to do the work I do and potentially help people, you know, be happy in their lives and healthier in their lives. Like, that's the meaning. I just think that money would help me do that more. At least that's the frickin' plan. So I'm reading this article and it's kind of heartbreaking in a way that is in general about the human condition, not about Johnny Depp. I don't feel sorry for Johnny Depp. He's an adult. Again, he should listen to my podcast because, first of all, Johnny, the offer still stands. I'd love to take you out to dinner, hang out with you, tell Uma that she can come over to my house while you and I are somewhere and she can hang out with Lisa. That offer still stands. It's fine. Lisa and my marriage is strong enough now after 23 years. I don't think it's going to break the marriage up. I think it's just going to be a little bit of a foray. With that said, fix. He has the material wealth, obviously, but he's got the resources to control the things that are happening to him. And I don't, again, I'm not invested. It's just in a general rule, as I am a coach that helps people improve and take control of their lives, I don't want people to be swept up with this. And by the way, most clients I've ever had have come to me with weight loss being their first thing. And again, the first thing out of my mouth is, let's talk about what you really want, because it ain't freaking weight loss. That's the paycheck. Weight loss is the $1 million. That's not, you want to be happy and healthy. You want to have a good life. You want to have good friends and you want to have good family. If you always return to the baseline of what actually makes people happy, you realize a couple things. One, it takes a lot less material wealth. And two, you are a stronger person when you have that knowledge. You have a grounding and a basis from which to live your life, meaning that as life externally changes to you, you don't necessarily change. You don't get lost in just being an absolute asshole because you got a bunch of money and all of a sudden now your insecurities come out and you can now treat people like crap because you can finally afford to. That's not a money issue. That's a character issue. Am I right? You know what? If I'm right, don't say anything. That's what I thought. I heard not one word of disagreement with me. Daydream versus day think. You know, we dream of the better day. If I only had this, and we forget the details. What would come along with that? You know, I've thought like, well, what if I had a job that I was, you know, could get paid a lot more money than I make now? Well, first of all, I wouldn't be living where I live because there's not many jobs around where I live, and certainly not ones that paid that well. And I don't want to live somewhere else right now, you know. So there's non-monetary value in the things that we forget that because we read the news and we read these articles like Rolling Stone, and we go, "Gosh, if I had that much money, I would do." But you might not if you don't have a grounding right now. I guess the life lesson there would be to get your ducks in a row. If you happen to get rich, or even if you lose your money, your ducks are in a row. The ducks are standing next to each other. That's what you just want that, right? Okay. Now a little foray into the state of the world. Here's what's happening in the state of the world. I want to be very clear. If anybody's wondering where I stand politically, I don't stand. I'm not a member. I'll just be straight up. I'm not a member of any party, because I don't dig that. Because what happens is that it's like, but your party, and I don't agree with you, and it the ideas get completely lost. And that's, even in the last podcast, that's been always my problem, is that with labels come expectations, with labels come assumptions, and with labels come a distraction from ideas. I don't like that. I want to be able to agree with somebody, and because of the ideas that she or he is talking about, and not even think for a second about what party that person is, freaking irrelevant. I couldn't give a flying crap about what party somebody is in. If somebody has a good point well taken, period. I want to have that freedom. I want to be very clear that when I talk about the problems as I see it in the world, I'm not talking about one party. It may sound like I'm talking about one party to those of you who are listening, depending on what potentially party you're into, so you're going to assume that I'm talking about the other party from you, but I'm not. There is a general lack of character in the species, guys. And here's who's winning. We have some people out there who are steadfast in their message. They're consistent in their message. They are winning because they come to the table with the same message and they repeat it, and it's consistent and with only one hitch, which is that as what's happening right now is more typically than not irrational, gut feeling driven, non well thought through. That's what the winners are, the people who are the most steadfast and consistent. The problem is that those people in general are delivering arguments that are not well thought through, but they're winning just because of, they just keep hammering it home in a very clear way. And people who are kind of don't have the time to think about things too much go, yeah, that makes sense, because I keep hearing it 18,000 times. Now, am I talking about one side or the other? Nope. I'm talking about both sides. I mean, I have heard the most crazy things in this 6 months that I took off from podcasting and sort of got back in the news. I decided I was going to listen to the so-called other side, as I said last week, to the so-called the crazies, and I'm hearing some, not all, but good points. Guys like Jordan Peterson, who people, you know, just write off as an absolute insane person. I'm going, this guy is super freaking intelligent. He's made some points I completely disagree with, but the way he is framed in the marketplace, oh my God, like so off the freaking wall. And I've heard him get in debates with people, and the people he's getting in debates with, I probably share more with than Jordan Peterson, but they're completely irrational and completely insane in the way that they're voicing their opposition. Insane, absolutely insane. And making me go like, you know, do not open your mouth until you have an actual well thought through opinion. Jordan Peterson is extremely well thought through. Again, I disagree with him on stuff, but I also agree with him on stuff too. I'm not a Jordan P. I don't follow Jordan. I'm not a fan of Jordan Peterson. But man, is it nice to hear somebody actually have an argument and be invited on, you know, Bill Maher's show to have an actual debate. We're not debating in the way that I think serves us as a people. We're not debating in terms of ideas. We're debating from our guts, and we have fears, and we have insecurities, and that is what is informing what is going on in the world. And we're getting hypersensitive about stuff, and because of that, we are losing out success in our own lives. We are losing out success. And it concerns me. And part of a big reason why I launched What Sid Thinks, because I want to dive in here and say, like, guys, can we just, there could be somebody who you've been told is the complete opposite of you and that you should just ban from your college campus. And I'm going, what the, ban from your college campus? Where is a place that you shouldn't have debate? College campuses, you should have debates and be them and have them be intelligent and well thought out. And somebody walks away learning something and going, yes, I thought I would disagree with that person. And yeah, I still disagree with them, but it was nice to hear their perspective. And maybe it was insane. So good, moving on. Good. Great. Moving on. I mean, I don't know where this kind of fear that is bordering on censorship. Jerry Seinfeld won't do shows on college campuses anymore. What the heck's happening here? This is insane. When I was at UCLA, it was all about 2 a.m. debates about ideas. You know, just staying up all night with coffee and just hammering it out and disagreeing with stuff and learning about, reading about things that were completely off your radar. You never even heard about. And that's the beauty of that time. And doesn't have to do with college necessarily, right? That's at any age. You can expose yourself to things that challenge you in your own opinions. I think it's always good to be challenged in our own opinions so we remember why we came to our opinions in the first place. When somebody challenges us, we can say, let me listen to that. Let me go back into my opinions and remember the thought process that went through. And sometimes in that process, we find holes in our own arguments and we have to sort of dive in deeper and go, you know, I got to suss that out. I got to make sure that I'm okay. Yes. Okay. Got it. And new information comes to light and that changes our opinion sometimes. And we shift and guess what, guys? We grow over time. We grow over time and we evolve. We don't devolve. That's what's happening right now. We are devolving into a society where both sides are freaking nutty nut nut. And I don't mean that in a good way. I think nutty nut nut is a good thing, but this is the negative side of the nutty nut nut. And lo and behold, welcome, you know, ain't that America? Am I right? What we need is the same well thought, rational arguments that are delivered steadfastly and consistently. Regardless of what political party you're in, regardless of religion you're in, regardless of what your parents told you, blah, 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 give me something that's well thought. I will listen to whatever's well thought. What I will not listen to is gut just reactions that are coming from fear and coming from insecurity. That drives me nuts. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing people dig their heels in. I cannot stand stubbornness. It is often misinterpreted as independence. Stubbornness is not independent. Do you understand? Stubbornness is a reactive state. Independence is an active state. Independent is saying, you know what, I agree with what everybody's saying, but not because everybody's saying it. I listen to the ideas and I agree with it, or I disagree with what everybody's saying, not because everybody's saying and I have to be disagreeable, but because I just don't actually agree with that opinion. That's independent thinking. That's character. That's applying your brain to a situation and realizing where you come out on the facts that you're looking at. Stubbornness is either I'm going to not do what everybody's doing because I'm going to be contrary, or I'm going to do what everybody's doing because I'm going to be agreeable. Both things are insane. In my humble opinion, they're insane. They're not what moves you forward as an individual. And if you're not moving forward as an individual, we're not moving forward as a people. I was just listening to something today and they were saying, I think it was like something about the environment. And they said, you know, it's not enough to make yourself healthy personally. That doesn't really do anything. We have to, because you can eat really well, but if you're still living in dirty air, you know, it doesn't really matter. I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree. I understand what they're saying. And yes, we as a people need to stand up and say, look, if environmentally we're going downhill, that's going to affect everybody. But let's not devalue where we stand in terms of our personal ability to be healthy and happy in our own lives and how that does affect the broader population, because it freaking does. And if there's one thing that I get most frustrated with is just people who think that doesn't really matter, that our individual actions do not reverberate into the population, and they freaking do. They do in a more profound way, because again, what we're hearing in the world right now is just people at odds, people arguing, knowing that nobody is going to change their opinions. We're coming to the table and we're yelling at each other, knowing that nobody is going to change their opinions. That is here's what it is, guys. Ready? This is a technical term. A waste of your time. Do not argue with somebody that if you're not going to change your opinion and they're not going to change their opinion, or at least be open to it. Okay, and I want to be clear about that. I want to be very clear that that's really what I mean. At least if you're open to it, you may not change your opinion. But don't get in an argument with somebody if you're not willing to change your opinion. That's a different thing. If I go at it with somebody politically about some argument and I'm not even willing to see their side, then it's literally a waste of my time. I'd rather play with my kids. But if I come to a table and say, I'm open to the possibility that my perspective is going to change, then whether it changes or not that could happen. Either way, I'm okay with it, but at least there's the possibility there. There's no possibility anymore. The possibility of change is decreasing as people dig their heels in and act like freaking five-year-olds. It's not going to change. What I come here for into this podcast is to say, and I guess, I'm always going to relate it to health and happiness because I think it starts with us. It's something that starts with the example we set. But I'm coming here to say, let's grow up. It is time that we grow up and start, at least if we're not going to, either don't have the conversation at all, but if you're going to have it with the expectation that there's a possibility that you could change your mind about something. And just coming at it open like that is a step in the right direction in my mind. Okay. Okay. I'm in a new studio now. My old studio, as I said before, was sort of our guest room. This is my actual studio, and I love it. I've got it set up. If you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, do that because you can kind of see what it looks like. I think it's pretty cool. I got music. I got a one button. I push a button, and all my things turn on, my PA and my amplifier. It's amazing. And then I've got the podcast area. Again, bring my laptop down, plug in, boom, ready to go. So, so good. Here's the downside. It's in the garage, and so above me is my family right now, and I can hear things like the dishwasher. So, okay. So I want to move on to a quick word of thanks. I started this podcast last week or whenever it was, and I like saying whenever it was because I actually don't know and don't care anymore. I didn't plan on doing this Sunday. It was like I told Lisa, I was like, I think I'm gonna do the podcast today. I've got some ideas. She's like, yeah, cool. So I don't know when I did it last. I don't care. Whenever I did it last, I did it and just kind of figured I'd float. Well, people have already rated it on the iTunes. That's how I'm technologically advanced, you guys, on the iTunes. They've already rated it and somebody did a review. Like, how nice is that? I started Patreon. I'm a little late to the game. It's old. I should have been on it years ago. I just got my butt off the couch and figuratively and did it. And I've gotten people already signed on to that, and that's an amazing thing to have that kind of response already. So thank you. And here's the thing. I want to be very clear this time around. I'm not going to ask for reviews or ratings. I'm not asking. I'm not going to come here to this podcast and go, hey, you guys, it really would be great. Can you please review or rate? I don't want to ask. I never liked it. It was only a thing that I was told I should do, and you know how I feel about the word should. Friggin' hate it. I just had to reach down to get my electrical cable because my laptop's running out of batteries. Could I edit this out? Sure. Why would I? I'm not going to ask. If you are moved to review or rate this podcast, if you go, you know what? I dig what I hear. This is kind of cool. I want it to keep going. And I think if I put a review in, people will read that and maybe it would get them to listen to it. And that's kind of cool because the more people that listen to it, it'll keep rolling on it. And also it makes me feel good, to say something nice about something that makes me feel good. I want to do that. Then review and rate this podcast. The alternative is if you say, you know what? I don't like Sid. Even if he had hair on his head, I don't like him. And I hate this show so much. I've listened to it because I forgot that I could actually turn something off and move on to something else. So I want to make sure that that people understand that my voice is so important and I'm the literal savior of all mankind. And it is my responsibility to tear Sid down on this rating and review, give him a one star and tell people how horrible so that I can save people from being subject to the craziness and horribleness of Sid. Fine. Either way, I'm good with either way. So I'm not going to ask. But I'm going to thank you when you do because you made the effort and that's a super cool thing. All right. Is that okay? Is that good that if I do that? Okay, good. Okay. I'm going to finish up this week and I'm going to finish up by a line in a song. So I'm going to make a song recommendation. I don't have the rights to it, so I can't play it. Otherwise, I friggin' would. By Dave Matthews. Now, I want to be very clear. I have never been a fan of Dave Matthews. I had to go to a Dave Matthews concert years ago when my little sister was 16, and she wanted to go see Dave Matthews, and so I took her because she obviously can't go alone, and so my parents said, can you take her? I said, yeah, I'll take her. I was like 27, and I'm not a Dave Matthews fan. What can I say? Look, sue me. Like Johnny Depp and I will be sued together, okay? And then we'll be able to hang out in one of his mansions and just be sued. And again, totally okay with that. Dave Matthews has written up to this point two good songs, just period. Space Between and Crash. Those are good songs. Every other Dave Matthews song's not good. Again, look, are you gonna? Okay, this song is so good that it's like brought me to tears when I heard it. It's called Oh Joy Begin off his new album. It is phenomenal, but let me tell you a little secret. Don't listen to the album version yet. The album version's fine. It kind of sounds like the Dave Matthews Band, and that's kind of what I don't dig too much. But he was on one of my favorite series, which is NPR's Tiny Desk series. If you guys have not checked this out on YouTube, please do yourself a favor. It is how they make these things sound so good is freaking magic. Whoever does the sound engineering is it just insanely good because the quality is just so good. Anyway, he's on there, NPR Tiny Desk. It's the first song he sings. Watch it. The other songs are fine and they're good. His new album must be really good. But the way he performs and this first song is so good, it's a little bit scary. Dave, I'm scared by how good that song is. Okay, I'm going to put that out there. Okay. Oh Joy Begin. But in that song is a line that I loved. And it says, we lose our way in fear and pain. We lose our way in fear and pain. And in my effort to launch this new podcast, in my effort to bring my ideas back out into this medium, I have spent a little time trying to encapsulate, if it exists at all, a single or at least a tight idea of what I'm trying to get through in this podcast, because it's definitely come out of an idea of a place in my own head of like, I wish this would change. I guess that's kind of where I'm coming at. And this line, as I'm listening to the song, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so just right on the money. We lose our way in fear and pain. It is this eternal fight as we live our lives individually, and I can't stress that enough. It's this internal fight of not letting the world get the best of us. It is this internal fight of bringing the fight, of developing our own strength and true strength and power to not lose our way in spite of the obstacles that are inevitable in the modern world. And there are a number of them, as everybody knows. And obviously with the Johnny Depp problem, doesn't get solved by having a bunch of money. It's our way is defined by us. Our way is something that we need to quantify, that we need to define so clearly for ourselves that in the midst of fear and pain that is going to be inevitable, we don't lose our way. And that is the ultimate challenge. And again, as I come here and deliver this and my vlog and everything else, that is my challenge to say, can I be a partial voice in helping people not lose their way? And so one of the things I kind of said, okay, well, how about this? A constant reminder that strength is not anger. And I think that what is frustrating for me is to see the level of vitriol and anger out there. And then on top of that, to sort of have it framed sometimes as toughness, as strength, when really it is about the weakest position you could ever have, which is just to be mean and angry at everybody and to be so outward focused that you are doing it so you are just constant state of distraction from the actual things that you could be doing to improve your own life. That's what at once breaks my heart and at the same time brings me to this microphone and my video camera to try to counteract. I'll talk to you next time.
found your way to me. Your hair shone like silver when you hovered around me. Your eyes bright like silver. And silver's more pretty than gold. And silver's more pretty than gold. Day when I wake to you, I'm soft into the gray. And when you shut everything out, all that sharp is dulled to gray. Clouds are much sweeter than blue sky. And clouds are much sweeter than blue sky. I'm trying to force things down. Just cannot be. Trying to plan things out that I cannot see. When you bring me back to me, struck by the quiet of knowing. When I fear things falling from me, I'm shown by you the truth. And truth is much stronger than lies. Truth is much stronger than lies. Silver's more pretty than gold. And clouds are much sweeter than blue.